This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome to The Morning Run. I'm Julian Ng and with me is Wong Xiaoning. US stocks ended in a very lackluster session ahead of today's expected rate cut by the Fed. The Dow was barely changed and so was the S&P 500. And Nasdaq, on the other hand, fell about 0.6%.
Meanwhile, in Asia, shares crept to a three-month peak, especially for the Nikkei, which grew 0.5%. Shanghai, however, fell 0.9%. Hang Seng didn't have a very good day, 0.4% down. Fortunately, Singapore rose 0.4%, while KLCI also increased by 0.5%.
And we have Dodge Dolan on the line, his chief investment officer at Lander Wealth Management, to talk to us more about the global markets. Good morning, Dodge. So the Fed will meet on Wednesday and the market is expecting a 25 bips cut. Moving forward, are you expecting a more dovish or hawkish stance from the Fed?
What I'm listening for is a phrase from the Fed, will act as appropriate to sustain the expansion. We must hear that phrase in order for the same environment to continue. Otherwise, we suspect that this will be the last. The question is, will the Fed keep or drop this phrase in the statement that's going to issue within the next 24 hours? Dropping it would be seen as a hint that the rate cut the Fed is set to announce this week, and it's unlikely it will not because it'll be just too much of a surprise to the market, will be the last one expects for this year. Powell has said that the rate reductions are intended as a kind of insurance against threats to the economy, notably the trade war and the broader global slowdown. So we've seen that, and he likens it to 1995 and 1998. But in both cases, there are only three rate cuts. So the real question is not whether or not there will be a rate cut within the next 24 hours, but whether there will be an indication that the Fed is still open for it. We suspect that that phrase may very well be dropped because of the uncertainty of the China trade talks will probably continue for quite some time, and it'll be dropped now, but then we would expect it to be reinstituted within the next month.
And Dodge, if we look at U.S. equity markets, right, they're seeing record highs on the back of this 25 bips cut likely today, and also some progress in U.S.-China trade talks, although the markets did pull back a little bit. Do you see this positive sentiment continuing through the fourth quarter of the year?
Well, I see the positive sentiment now as being innocent until proven guilty. In other words, there's enough positivity in the market to continue unless something negative happens to change the perspective of the market. So, yes, I do expect to continue, but it's going to have to prove itself. But the onus of now is going to be on the short side of the market to prove that there is not enough conviction for the market to continue. So we're going to see. There will be a continued volatility that we do expect. We see it in all the different sectors, and there's a rotation of sectors right now. We like banks, industrials, tractors, as well as many small to medium cap biotechnology stocks. But the sectors that have been positive for the last 3 to 4 weeks to a month are home builders, retail, and semiconductors. They're going through a real pullback now, and they're going to have to clearly find some support before they start to rally again. So we continue to see innocence in the market will continue to move up, but we also continue to see the rotation among the different sectors.
And Dodge, of course, the U.S. earnings season is ongoing. Are there any companies or sectors that stand out for you?
Well, we've seen Grubhub, more than a 40% slide Tuesday. It reminds us of a very important lesson. If anybody can knock off a business idea like Grubhub did, there's a good chance somebody will. Another negative was Beyond Meat. It was another big loser. It was down more than 20%. The lockup period expired, and now the company insiders can sell for the first time since their spectacular initial public stock offering. So a sell-off was to be expected. The company's success, after all, is based on a recipe, and recipes can be copied. So those two were negatives. On the positive side, and you will be surprised at this, we do see some positive in Google. Yes, the market was down. But if you look beyond the short-term financial impact of all their capital spending to grow the business, the marketing side, and you look at the actual performance of the services that they provide, there is some positive longer term. So we suspect that longer term, Google is going to have a ride to the upside. But again, you have to get through the short-term trading side and the short-term reaction to all the marketing expense.
And Dodge, we look at Saudi. The Aramco is set to announce its listing on the Saudi Arabian Stock Exchange on November 3rd, with Gongdae scheduled in December. Now, would you consider this investment?
Well, I would consider it, but it's going to have to prove itself. First of all, the level of the IPO price that Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is looking for is very, very high in order to meet his expectations for the country, not for oil and not for his stockholders. And so we suspect that the IPO price is going to be lower than he expects, which if it is, if he doesn't try to hold it up, that would be a positive because the real reward for the IPO is not now, it's going to be for the longer term. So try not to front load the expectations of a very high price. If it comes across at a lower price, you look at WTI now, you know, we're in the low 50s. So it's going to have to increase tremendously in order to meet his requirements. So it has to prove itself. At this point, we're open to it, but we're not going to just buy it. It may be a trade, the IPO price may be a trade, but that's very, very short term, like ours. For the longer term, it's going to have to prove itself. First of all, the IPO price has to be low relative to the price of oil now, rather than what he expects to meet his country objectives.
Dodge, thanks as always for joining us. And that was Dodge Dolan of Lander & Wealth Management in New York. The siren in the background giving us capturing that mood of New York. But interesting, Saudi Aramco could be the company with the highest profits in the world, making about $100 billion, US dollars, I think, a year.
Yeah, they just reported $68 billion for third quarter, right, if I'm not wrong. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to be curious what kind of valuations they're going to get. I think the market range has been, well, the Crown Prince wants two US trillion. Market says maybe 1.5 US trillion. That's a big differential between what he wants and what he might get.
That's about 15 times if you assume 100 billion a year. 15 times would be 1.5 trillion.
You know, that's quite a lot to pay for a cyclical kind of a stock when you think about it, because oil prices have been volatile, right? So this year alone, the range has been 50 to 65. So, you know, how do you value a company like this?
So eat your heart out, Uber and Lyft.
Okay. Well, at least they're making some money, so that's a positive.
That's right. And interesting also are the kind of benefits that the citizens of Saudi Arabia receive. For example, $3,000 to help them deal with high cost of living. I think the income tax rates there are very low, non-existent.
They don't pay any taxes for cars, for example.
Yeah. So, but then the debt situation in Saudi is heading up, although I think at 30% of GDP, which puts them at about 40 billion or something like that. It's not a lot of debt compared to other people, other countries.
Yeah, the unemployment also is surprisingly quite high for a country like this. So, and there's too much dependence on oil revenue. So, and very recently, Saudi Arabia relaxed its visa requirements for tourists. So, I think there are like maybe 30, 40 countries where you can apply for visa on arrival. And apparently, they've liberalized it so much that women don't have to cover up, non-Muslim women when they travel to Saudi, don't have to cover up like in the past.
I'm sorry, I just have to make a correction. The gross external debt of Saudi Arabia is over 200 billion, and the budget deficit is in the region of 4.5% as well. Now, meanwhile, in the UK, they're set to go to the polls on 12th December. That means that there will be a 5-week campaigning up to polling day. And Boris Johnson hopes that the election will give him a fresh mandate for the Brexit deal.
Yeah, this is the gift that keeps on giving, right? But at least he got his way. He wanted December 12th, and he did. And this was in support. He got the support of the Labour leader, who said that this election is a once-in-a-generation chance to transform our country and take on the vested interests holding people back. Now, Labour leader said that his party would launch the most ambitious and radical campaign for real change that UK has never seen. But however, some Labour MPs have some misgivings over the timing of the elections, believing actually that a referendum is the only way to resolve the Brexit issue.
That's right. The vote actually was overwhelming. 438 8 votes to 20 opposing the election. In other news, apparently Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot owner PSA are in talks to combine in a deal that would create a $50 billion automaker. This is from a source which told the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, Fiat Chrysler shares as a result rose sharply after the report and actually ended up more than 7.5% higher in US trading. Now, companies both have no comment. But, you know, if you rewind, Fiat Chrysler earlier did discuss a merger with French automaker Renault that ultimately collapsed. And then, of course, Renault has its own issues with Nissan. Now, the question is why combine? So you have Fiat Chrysler and Peugeot. They're probably there to compete against the likes of Volkswagen, the largest European automaker there is. The other possibility, of course, is all this the spending that is required for electrical vehicles. So maybe mergers are the way to go to manage that cost.
All right, 7:17 right now, and we're heading up to some messages. And after that, what is Sirius TV? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.